Welcome to Home Story with Veronica. I'm Veronica Diquez, and today we're diving into the people, places, and decisions that make a house a home. You're watching Now Media Television.
Welcome to Home Story with Veronica, where we uncover the powerful journeys behind the places we live and the decisions that shape our lives. I'm your host, Veronica Diquez, and today we are diving into the ways we can find courage, clarity, and confidence when it comes to some of the biggest decisions in our lives. Our guest today is someone who knows all about transformation and leadership. Griselda Abuzloman is a successful business advisor, real estate investor, and leadership coach with a degree in industrial engineering from Stanford University. She founded Lean Business Excellence, where she helps both individuals and organizations thrive. Her passion for empowering people, her authenticity, and her focus on servant leadership have made her an exceptional guide for anyone seeking meaningful growth. Griselda, welcome to Home Story with Veronica.
Well, thank you so much. And it's my pleasure and my honor to be here with you, Veronica. I look forward to our conversation.
I'm so happy to talk with you here. And I'd love to begin with a challenge many of our viewers face, which is finding the confidence to make big life changes, whether it's buying a home, moving, or investing. So let's dive into how you help people believe in themselves. Now, the problem facing many is that they dream of making big life changes, but don't believe they're strong enough to pull it off. What is the first mindset shift someone needs when they start dreaming big so that they believe that they can do it?
Yeah. So I would recommend just pick yourself in that moment, like you're already there, whatever that is, right? Let's say you're looking to buy a big home or you have a beautiful home and you're looking to buy an investment home. Just picture yourself in that investment home, marketing your home with tenants coming in and out of there. So just picture yourself in that moment and it fills you up with so much confidence and good vibe that it makes things a little easier. Now, I won't say just dive right into it. That's not what I'm saying. You definitely have to take the risk, but it's a calculated risk, right? Run your numbers. Are you able to afford it? What does it take? How much revenue do you need to get from it if it is going to be an investment home? So just know your facts, run your numbers, and picture yourself like you're already doing it successfully, and you will. So just have a plan, put yourself in that plan, move forward, and you'll be very pleasantly surprised with the outcomes. At least I was many times.
I love that. And, you know, when I started my real estate business, I was doing the same thing. Like, how am I going to be successful at this? And one of the things that I did is exactly what you said, you know, I did my affirmations, I did my dream board. So it's just putting it all in my head to really know that, you know, hey, this is possible. I can make this happen. Is that sort of what you mean when you say, you know, start putting it in your head, start saying it out loud?
Absolutely. Like psychologically, we all have this, Veronica, right? There's that like good voice, a positive voice saying, yeah, you got this, you can do it. And then there's that naysaying voice saying, watch out for this, watch out for that, and all the negative possibilities that could happen, right? So just listen to those and then create your plan and figure out what it is that you need to be cautious about and proceed with carefully. But then listen to that positive voice in your head and say, you know what? I can do that and I can overcome that, right? So you kind of list out those things that could go wrong and you figure out if that happens, what would we do? And you have a plan with, you know, A, B, and C, and then you move forward. But I guarantee you this, if you don't try it, for sure you will not win. For sure you'll just get stuck somewhere. So you have to give it a try, calculated risk, and move forward.
I love that. I love that. And how do you help people take action even when their fear or self-doubt is really loud? Like the voices that you were saying, you know, the good one and the bad one. What if the little devil is just really a lot louder than the little angel?
Yeah. And I would say just reach out for others' input. Others that have been there, done that, right? So let's say as an investor, right? When we were getting started, we didn't have many homes, but we sought advice and input from others that did have 4, 5, or 6 investment homes. I'm like, how do you do it? And what do you do? And what if you don't have that much money? So you seek advice. So seeking out like yourself, right? Going to you for, hey, you're an agent, you're a broker, you've done this before. What do you think? I only have this much money. So getting that input from different sources, that's also very important. You don't want like a one-sided input. You want to know different people that are like you financially, you know, in the same realm as you, and others that are not, some of them that are way more experienced per se. But once you get that input, you look at all of what they've done, you see what could go wrong, you mitigate that. And then obviously you put the best plan for yourself in your own personal situation. So there's going to be fear, sure, but I think fear is a good thing, right? I think it's good for it to make you sharpen your focus, to really let you know what you should and should not do.
Yes, I love that. And we touch on such an important point. You know, it's a circle, who you surround yourself with. If you're surrounding yourself with people who are where you want to go, you'll get some of that magic dust on you. But if you keep, you know, I'm never going to ask advice from somebody who's never done real estate investing about investing in real estate. You're exactly right. You need to find the right people who are where you want to go in order to get that advice. Because, I mean, Uncle Joe is awesome, but he has never bought a home. So.
Exactly. And understand that not any one person has all the answers. That is for sure, right? Could be an awesome broker or person, but they've had a lot of experience. Absolutely. So I would seek advice from someone like yourself, for example, in the real estate world. But I also get advice from others that have been there, and they just to get varied input to say, oh, okay, those experiences were really good. This one, not so great. So how do I make this work for me? Right. But were my husband and I scared when we were doing some of our investments? Absolutely. Oh, yeah. But that was good because we asked more questions and we were more cautious. And then we got all that input. And then before we know it, hello, we're walking in this beautiful investment home that we rent out to people on the beach. And it's just an amazing feeling.
I love that. And I love also what you said, you know, it is going to be scary, right? You're always going to have that because there's always a risk factor. What's the worst case scenario? What's going to happen if this doesn't pan out like you want to? So that's so important to, you know, not to be afraid of the fear.
Yes, absolutely.
Be there and pull you through. I love what you said. Can you share maybe a story when someone almost gave up and then chose to keep going? And it can be your own story and what it looked like at the end.
Sure. There's a couple that come to mind.
Yeah.
And both actually go back to my parents. So I'm going to go there and I will relate it to real estate. I promise, but I'm going to start somewhere else. But the notion of never giving up, of like, you know, when things feel heavy and you feel like you're rock bottom and there's no way out, right? Very recently, about a year ago, you know, we're happy-go-lucky people. My 49, you know, 39 cousins, my siblings, myself, my family, mom is the same. And I think we take it from her, right? She's always, you know, the life of the party anywhere that we go. Well, all of a sudden, you know, come one October, I get a phone call that I have to pick her up because she's in a dire mode of depression and anxiety. I'm like, no, that's not the woman that I know. So anyway, so all of this is happening. And all of a sudden, my mother is entirely a different person. And I'm like, wow, how do we get there? You know, I won't share all the details there. Let's just say that from those months of extreme, you know, down in the slums, I don't even want to leave my house, my room, the bed. It's like, oh my goodness. She felt, and she'd tell me, right, like, there's nothing to live for. And I'm like, oh my God, this is not the woman that I knew. Bottom line, coming out of that, she did not give up. She's like, I know I'm not okay. I know I need help. Please help me. Right. So with that mode, we help, right? So obviously, you know, we took turns between my siblings and I, and we helped her out, got some doctors, got some therapy, all of that. My mother is doing very, very well. But talking about mom, one of the, you know, activities was, I remember going through a divorce back in the day. And at that time, I was helping out my parents financially. So I'm thinking, ooh, now on one income, how do I help my parents financially? Bottom line is, you know, I was helping with their home payment. And I wanted to refinance. And so I tried it once, declined. I'm like, oh, that didn't work because I was trying to go between, you know, my dad's income and mine. But anyway, all in all, second time, declined. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to make this happen. I really needed the other income before my divorce and all that good stuff. Bottom line is, you know what? I'm going to go at this 3, 4, 5 times. So on the third time, I tried again and yay. It happened. So I was able to refinance. So my point there is that things can get really tough emotionally, health-wise, you know, certain things. Always seek help. Stay positive. There's light at the end of the tunnel. And even when you get declined once, twice, 3 or 4 times, stay with it. There's a way to that, you know, prosperity or investment or closure or whatever it is that you're looking to do. You just have to keep at it and keep digging and look for the right, you know, financial company, partner, anything that you need.
I love that. And it's that concept, you know, I can't remember what book it's at, that people usually quit when they're like 3 feet away from the gold when they're digging. And it's just so heartbreaking when you see somebody try so hard and then they're almost there, but they quit right before they get
there. I know.
And just, you know, find the strength, you know, go do your thing, recharge, and then keep going. And that's, I'm so glad that your mom is doing better. That, and I'm so happy that you were able to help them. That's an amazing story for sure.
Yes, absolutely. Now,
what are some daily habits that maybe you do or that you recommend that people can practice and they can use it to build and to grow their confidence over time?
So some daily habits that I've used most recently, one of them, it's very, very honest, is straightforward, is, you know, exercise. Just keeping healthy in the mind and the body gives me confidence, boosts my self-esteem. I feel like I look more presentable. And so that is one that I've taken to heart, right? You know, we're all going to have some type of health issues. I shared my mom's. I've had some of my own. But to be positive and, you know, work with, you know, a coach, exercise partner, anyone, that is one. But also keeping mentally exercising, like digging through, you know, whether it's videos or just exercising your mind to pick up the latest and greatest that is out there, right? How are people doing this, you know, more efficiently? How are people doing real estate closings more efficiently? How do you do all the, you know, document signing so that we're here in Florida and we can close homes in North Carolina or Texas or other places? How do we incorporate AI into all that is going on, right? So just keep current. Keep current in your mind, keep current in your body, and everything else kind of comes together.
That's perfect. And that's so important. I notice a difference when I exercise and when I don't, because my energy is lower and I don't want to do as many things. That is so true. This information has been amazing. I can't wait for the rest of the show that we're going to do. And coming up, we're actually going to talk about how to cut through the chaos of too many choices and bring clarity to your biggest decision. So don't go away. Stay tuned.
We'll be right back with more stories, strategies, and inspiration to help you write your next home chapter. This is Home Story with Veronica on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Veronica Dikis, and you're watching Home Story with Veronica on Now Media Television. Let's jump back into today's conversation.
I am here with Griselda Abusleman, and we've been talking about building confidence in big life moves. Now, let's look at another challenge that so many people face. Decision paralysis. I'm sure every single one of our viewers have faced that, including myself. And with endless choices and loans in real estate, right? Let's talk real estate. Loans, neighborhoods, career moves. People often feel stuck. Now, Griselda helps her clients actually break that cycle. The problem is that many of us feel overwhelmed by too many choices, and it leaves us paralyzed and afraid to make the wrong move. So Griselda, how do you help someone break through a big decision into clear, manageable steps?
It's exactly what you said, Veronica. It is, there's something big that is exciting that you really have been thinking about it for years, maybe. But it's, how do you take that first tiny step? I'm not even saying like a small step. It's like, how do I inch my way towards that direction? And that is it. And you can line up the next 3, 4, 10 steps if you'd like. But as long as you take the first small step, and that is, I mean, that could be like scheduling a meeting or a conversation with someone, or scheduling, you know, a meeting with your broker or something, or just kind of Googling to see what region you're going to be investing in. But that tiny step kind of gets the excitement going, get more information, you get more confident, and then you can take that next step. And then you take that next step, right? So actually right now I have a 23-year-old daughter that, you know, made up her mind. I'm going to go from South Carolina to Texas. And I'm like, okay, bold. It's big change. And so I'm like, okay, more opportunity in Texas. Eventually, you know, we're going to be moving to Texas someday, she says. Bottom line is she had a plan. 23 years old, getting started. Also not a first-time home buyer yet. And so she had all of these great ideas. And I'm like, okay, Brianna, one step at a time. First, right, you need to come to Florida and let's plan it out. She did that. But then it's like, okay, now that I'm there, I don't want her to dive into start into the stressful part of it, right? Which is working and how much money do you have and what, you know, location do you want and location. I'm like, no, just go offer your very humble services. as a babysitter to my brother.
So
my brother, just go easy, girl. Just stay there and help him out with, you know, my sister-in-law as well. They have three boys. They're young. They need some help. Go there. You get free lodging. You can help them out as well. And you can scope out the area. So now it's fun, right? So now it's engaging. You know, my brother is an investor as well in real estate like myself. So anyway, so now we're helping her with getting information in a fun, safe environment. She doesn't feel so overwhelmed, right? Now she's already given me the areas that she's going to look at. She's doing her homework one step at a time, right? One baby step at a time in a way that is an exciting, it's fun, and it doesn't stress her out. And that's what I would recommend. That's what I recommend to my clients. Any big decision, even changing jobs or starting your own business. It's picture yourself in that moment, serving people or doing whatever that you're looking to go do. But then plan out the first three steps and make sure that the first one or two are super simple.
And it's that saying, that you know, direction. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
One tiny bite at a time. Just pruébalo. Just taste it. Just a little bit at a time. And then you get going.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I love that. Actually, I read a book not too long ago. It's called The 12-Week Year. And it's all about that. It's all about breaking your, you know, your yearly goal. I want to move to Texas. Break it down into monthly goals, then weekly goals, then daily goals.
Yeah.
It doesn't become so overwhelming. So
absolutely.
That advice is golden. Absolutely. Now, what frameworks like decision mapping or priority charts do you use or do you recommend to clarify what matters most to prioritize?
Oh, this is fantastic because I use it daily almost in my personal life, but also in my job. I'm an industrial engineer. So I'm all about, you know, productivity, efficiency, and making sure that companies and people are profitable.
Okay.
And so one of the tools that I would recommend to anybody in anything that you're doing, whether it's real estate, whether it's, you know, running a business or in a job, is I call it a pick chart.
Okay.
P-I-C-K. And I'm going to briefly describe it, right? On the x-axis is ease of implementation, you know, from hard to simple to do. And then on the y-axis, impact. Obviously, the higher the easier it is to do with the highest impact, that's what you go do, right? That's the I. Go implement immediately, right?
Okay.
Now, that's the I. So on the other end, right, if it's hard to do and you get minimal impact, kill it, right? That's the K in pick, right? So from the I, implement, K, kill, and then obviously possible and then consider is another one. But anyway, the two extremes give you that. High impact, easy to do, go for it, you know, full speed ahead. But if it's a lot of work and you're going to get very little benefit, very little impact from it, that goes in the kill zone. You don't want to do that, right? Now, all of this is kind of quantified, right? So there's going to be several projects, priorities, maybe homes that you're looking at that are going to fall into one quadrant of the, you know, possible. Now you need data, right? What's the cost? What's the price? What's the, you know, marketability of that place? So you got to quantify the ease and the impact so you can plot them out. And then you see which one stand out the most with the highest impact and the easiest to go do.
I love that. I need to do that every day.
Yes.
In real estate, you can get, I mean, distracted by so many tasks and so many things. And some of them are just truly not productive, but you feel like they're you have to put out that fire.
They're time hogs. I call those time hogs, Veronica. Yes. They're just going to suck up your time, give you no benefit, and you're just spinning your wheels, getting frustrated. Get out of that. Yes. Just it's easy, 100%. High impact, go do it. You feel like you're winning, and then you go on to the next project, next priority.
Yeah, my kill zone is going to be big from here.
Yeah, and that's okay. Many times we kind of do it all, right? You just kind of try to do everything and it's impossible. You just get buried, you get flustered, you get, you know, deflated. And it's like, before you know it, you're doing nothing.
Exactly. And you know, in talking about that, I'm going to segment that to my next question, because when we make decisions and maybe I put something on the kill zone that it wasn't something that should have gone on the kill zone. Maybe I put it there because I just didn't want to deal with it. When someone's afraid that they're going to make the wrong choice, like I am right now, what am I going to put on the kill zone and what am I going to do that is productive? How do you guide them to accept that imperfect decisions are actually part of growth?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, think of life in general. We make so many mistakes throughout life, you know, sometimes big ones, sometimes small ones. So my advice is it is okay to make those mistakes, right? Obviously, you want them smaller, the better. So many small ones, and I will say why, because you learn so much from every single one of those, right? In life in general, right? You know, the saying of what doesn't kill you make you stronger. Yep. Same thing on mistakes. Yeah. Try it. You may not succeed on the first try, but you will learn something, right? Even in the workforce, I remember as I was an executive, you know, people are like, oh, who wants to go to, you know, France or China or Czech Republic or take on this project? People were like, maybe I've never been there. I'm like, none of us have ever been there, you know, on that team, right? I'm like, but of course I'm going to raise my hand. I'm like, I'll go to China or I'll go here and there. But did I know everything about that project, that assignment? Heck no, absolutely not. But was I going to make some mistakes? Small ones, I hope. But I was going to learn enough to advance 3 steps forward, right? So calculated mistakes are okay because you learn so much from them. And so when you do that and you learn, you apply that, and now you're advancing forward in strides. So mistakes are inevitable. They're part of the process, and I welcome them because I learned so much from them.
I love that. And it's, you know, it's what you said. Sometimes, you know, again, we fail forward. Some of the things that we fail at is that actually something that's going to make us stronger for our next chapter or for whatever we do next. I mean, absolutely. I also started investing in real estate and I made a couple of mistakes that I am not going to make again.
Yeah.
We learned hard, and that now that makes us way better investors ourselves in real estate.
Absolutely.
Yes. And so when you're making that decision, for my last question here for the segment, how do you weigh the emotional longings? So what feels right? Mm-hmm. And I'm a very impulsive person. So this is a question that's going to help me a lot.
Yeah. But so
the logical factors, the cost, the timeline, the risk, how do you weigh those?
Yeah. So you really, really have to know your numbers, period, right? There are going to be emotional tie-ins to many things, especially in real estate. I can actually call out two, right? One of them, when I was living, you know, by your area over there in North Carolina, we had a beautiful lake home. And we were renting it out because we had our first home. It was an investment home. And I was just like, I love this little cabin on the lake. I'm never going to let go of it, right? And so I was emotionally tied to it, right? COVID happened. Things were spinning out of control. You know, people were reminiscing on what had happened before in 2008, 2009. And so all of us got nervous. And Greg's like, we have a pretty hefty portfolio of real estate. We need to be cautious, right? Bottom line, at the end of the day, we ended up, you know, selling that property, even though it was near and dear to my heart, but we did sell it, right? And so we made some good money on it. Now, thinking back, right, in retrospect, I'm like, we should have kept that one.
Oh, yeah, especially Charlotte.
you don't have all the answers, right? But you need to make the answer, the best decision for that period of time. At that point, all the indicators, all the data said, hey, it's a good sell. Go ahead and release that one. There'll be others. So absolutely, we let it go. We bought this beautiful million-dollar home in Florida. And so anyway, it was great. Right. Now, of course, we went back a year later. I'm like, maybe I should have kept it. But that's okay.
But it worked at the time, and that's all that matters. Now, real quick, Rosella, I know a lot of people are going to ask me this. Where can the viewers who are watching the show learn more about your coaching or connect with you for tools or decision-making?
Sure, absolutely. I love working with my clients, and you can find me on www.businesscoachingresults.com. That's my webpage. So, you know, definitely there, and email me at griselda@businesscoachingresults.com. So I would love to connect with you and talk about real estate or how to help you in your business.
Love it. Make sure you go check her out. I actually used to work where she used to work as well we're not going to say the name of the company, in Davidson, North Carolina. And she was fantastic. So definitely follow her. Up next, we're going to talk about leadership, what it looks like, not just in the workplace, but at home and in everyday life.
Yes.
We'll be right back with more stories, strategies, and inspiration to help you write your next home chapter. This is Home Story with Veronica on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Veronica Dikes, and you're watching Home Story with Veronica on Now Media Television. Let's jump back into today's conversation.
Welcome back to Home Story with Veronica. We've been exploring the big decisions that shape our lives. And now we're diving into a topic that often gets overlooked: leadership at home and in everyday life. Leadership isn't just about work or titles. It's about how we show up in our families, neighborhoods, and our personal lives. The problem that many of our viewers feel is that they need to be perfect in every role, as a parent, as a partner, as a worker, and end up feeling like they're failing somewhere. Griselda, how do you define leadership in everyday life? Not just in big jobs, but at home with your family, your neighborhood, your finances, and your business and so forth.
Mm-hmm. So this is how I think of leadership. It's basically links to followership. And do people want to follow you? Not that they have to because you're their boss or supervisor or parent, but do they respect you? Do they admire what you're doing? Do they get motivated by you? And do they want to follow you? And so that's really how I define leadership. Now, as a leader, right, of, you know, my home and or, you know, business, I really look at certain things. Number one is, first of all, they have to respect you, right? You need to earn that respect. So it's not just a given just because you're the elder in the family, they're going to respect you. I have to earn that, right? And yeah. And also, obviously, I need to genuinely care about their well-being. Whether it's my team and my business, whether it's when I was an executive or in my home, genuinely, my husband and I genuinely, obviously, like many people, care for our family and want to make sure that they're well taken care of. But the sincerity of that shines through. And so when they see that, especially in a business environment, they see that you genuinely care about the business and their personal well-being, then it comes back to you tenfold, Veronica, right? I've had people that reported to me that were leading large operations. And I was like, ooh, why are you traveling, you know, for 8 hours? You know, one was in China, for example, and he was traveling to see his family on the weekend. And I'm like, I could easily put you in one of our other facilities and lead that one. And now your drive is only like 45 minutes. So anyway, so just doing those little things that show that you empathetically care, sincerely yeah. care, that makes a big difference, because then they're going to take care of yourself, your performance, and obviously your team and what you're after. So that's really critically important. People sometimes say that or think that empathetic leadership is weak. I think it's super strong. It is one of the strongest leadership styles because it's genuine and it is, you know, it is about others, not yourself. It's not advancing yourself or even your profits. However, you focus on others, they take care of customers, profits roll in like there's no tomorrow.
Yes. And that is so true in every aspect of your life. You know, yes. You talked about being genuine. It's people typically, they don't quit the job. They quit the person that they're working for.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, I've had that experience before. And when you have a good leader, when you have, you know, somebody who's involved and is genuine and they truly care, that just speaks volumes. And when you do that, you not only do that at work, you tend to do that everywhere.
Yeah,
you genuinely
absolutely.
Care about your partner, about your business, about, you know, your real estate mm-hmm. investments, about your kids. Yeah. And it's just, I love that. That word genuine for me is so important when you talk about leadership, because when someone is not genuine, you can tell.
Oh, you can totally tell. Absolutely. It'll read right through you.
Yep. You can tell. Now, how can someone balance leading others, whether it's your family, a team, or when you're investing in real estate, you're working with other people in order to accomplish that, while also caring for themselves so that they don't get burned out?
Yeah, that's a great question. And one that I've actually learned through, you know, scars and bruises myself. But, you know, as an executive that was traveling the world, literally, I think I went to 26 different countries in my executive career. But there was home life and my children. I have 3 kids and an amazing husband. And then I had my team that was a global team, right? All the way from California and Kent, Washington to China, France and Ireland and in between. So I was a career woman, now a businesswoman, entrepreneur. And then I have my family and I have myself, my own health, right?
Yep.
And so sometimes you feel like, how do you do all this? How do you juggle? You basically just figure out, what help do I need? What do I outsource, for example, and what do I keep within my scope, right? So I know for a fact that I'm going to be a great mom. I'm going to be a very loving, awesome wife, and I'm going to be a great entrepreneur. I also know that it's not all going to happen on the same day, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to take it one at a time and say, okay, this is the board meeting and I'm going to nail it. So I'm going to, you know, be a rock star on that boardroom, in that boardroom. Also, when I come home, it's like my girls need me or my son needs me, and it's all about them. And they know that, right? And then obviously my husband and I will like go and have date night and enjoy ourselves because we've earned it. So you just have to compartmentalize what it is that you're doing. And then obviously, invest yourself 100% in that activity, knowing that you're not going to do everything perfect every single day. You're going to have to, you know, balance it out. And I will say this, and I think I shared with you before the show, my health, I have learned, has to be first and foremost.
Yes.
If I am not healthy, there's no way that I can help anybody, not even my husband, my children, or even myself. So that has to be first and foremost, which is why I strongly encourage people to have an exercise routine, have someone that you work out with, you know, make sure that you're doing your healthy habits, because once you reach the fifth floor, like myself, it doesn't get easier, right? It gets a little bit harder. So you have to put yourself first so that you can give of yourself to others.
That is so true. And you know, there's a lot of studies behind burnouts.
Yes.
When you're burned out and you try to work, you're just not as effective and you just keep pushing for something. And instead, you can just take a couple of hours, recharge or go exercise or do something. And then when you come back, whether it's the same day or the next day, you're right. So much more effective.
Right.
And I think we've all been sort of raised with that work hard mentality, yeah, that we always have to be at it. And we don't understand that sometimes it's just the smart side of it,
yes,
that we need to concentrate on, not the hard side of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I'll just bring this forward to, you mentioned, you know, the topic on leadership. Like, I consider myself a leader in my career world, in my entrepreneurial activities, also a leader at home. But I also have a husband and we're an awesome team together, right? I know that I travel significantly. Because of that, I know that my children are closer to him and they have that good, strong rapport with him. That's what we decided, right? I was going to be on the road or I was going to be at home. So I accept that. And I love the fact that, you know, he's the leader of our home and I lead my teams on the road. And that is totally okay, right? Sometimes I do get a little jealous when they look for some homework help or something. I'm like, oh, dad knows everything. I'm like, I know some things too, you know?
Exactly.
but that's how we decided, right? I was going to be on the road. He didn't travel. And so we earned our place and spot in the home and it works for us. So we're happy.
That's perfect. I love that. And I admire that so very much because, you know, not a lot of people can feel confident enough to know that this works for us. This is good. And not listen to all the other voices, you know, that are telling you 1,000 things that you should do differently. It's your family, your situation. You're the one that needs to decide what works best for you.
Absolutely.
I love that. And I know that there is a book over there and I see it right behind you. And I wanted to ask you about your book because I want to make sure that my viewers know about it and they can go ahead and find that.
Yes, absolutely. It's where I share a lot of my strategies and tips in terms of how do you balance it all, right? There's going to be bumps and bruises, but you never give up. And this kind of shares a little bit of tres generaciones, three generations, starts with my grandmother in Mexico, then moves on to my mom's journey into the US, and then obviously with me in, you know, the executive world and in starting my own business. So anyway, so that's what it is all about. Audiobook comes out later this year, so watch out for that. It's Hispanic Heritage Month this month, so I am definitely promoting it in hopes that it helps and inspires others to achieve their goals and dreams. So that's my goal. That's why I have it out there. I love talking to young career women to make sure that they don't give up, you know, have children when you want to have them, as many as you want. Life, career, and business is still going to be there. You can juggle it all. Just, you're going to need a little bit of help. I had 9 au pairs to help me through the process.
Wow.
I love all 9 of them. They're spread out throughout the world. So now anywhere that we want to go, we have someone to go visit. But anyway, so yeah, it's From the Border to the Boardroom. And it's My Journey from Poverty to Passionate Purpose, which is helping you.
I love that. And I guarantee you, you know, on the topic that we're at right now, that leadership is a part of everything that you're going to mention in that book. Because look at the word leadership. You're leading, right? You're leading yourself. You're leading your family. You're leading your coworkers, your employees, whoever you're working with, your team. Yeah. So I'm excited about reading that book. I'm really excited.
Yeah, yeah. And there's many obstacles along the way, many big, big obstacles that I myself, I'm like, how am I going to get out of this one? There was always a way. I just had to stay positive.
You always find a way out. I love that. Mm-hmm. Now, in talking about that and talking about, you know, what we've been talking about this segment, which is the leadership, how can you think of, or can you share a time when you saw someone or yourself become a leader simply by choosing courage in small moments?
Yes. And I am going to resort to the youngest one in the family, in my family here, but only because his story is something that is briefly mentioned in the book as well, but it's about resilience and literally not giving up, right? He was born with a condition that basically he hated to eat. Anything that went into his mouth, he was disgusted by it and he would toss it back up. So anyway, so we had to work with 9 different doctors, 5 different therapists and a group of us, right? To make sure that he was going to survive. But anyway, so fast forward, we had to feed him through a G-tube since he was a baby. So that's how we fed him and that's how he was able to survive up until he was 8 years old. And that's where the courage comes in. Because he was smallish, right? We had him in jiu-jitsu and we wanted to make sure that he was strong in mind and self-confident because he had issues. He was a little bit different, right? He's on the spectrum. So we put him in jiu-jitsu and he had a G-tube. He had a bandage that would cover that, but it would leak. And so there would be a little bit of a smell. And so finally, when he was 7, he comes to me and goes, Mom, I'd like to take this tube out. I'm like, okay, what do we need to do, right? So that was his courage saying, you know what? I've had this all my life. I'm 7 years old now, no more. I want it out. And I'm like, okay, buddy, it's not like we can just take it out. I have to feed you, right? This is the only way we have of feeding you. He goes, I know, but I will work on it, Mom. So long story short, I'll just say that at the age of 7, we went to his doctor. He created a plan. Doctor, what do I have to do? You have to gain so much. You have to put this many calories every single day. You have to hold that weight gain for 4 months, right?
Okay.
So he had a plan. He was courageous. He was determined. Mom, I can do this. I know that I can do this. And of course, I'm going to get emotional. But
of course,
bottom line, he was 7 years old. Remember, he has to hold it for 4 months. And so at the age of 8, we go into the hospital and that little tube came out.
Yay.
From that day forward, he's been eating anything and everything.
I love that. That is such a good story. Hey, that's a lot of courage.
That's a lot of courage.
Not a small moment in my books. That's
at the age
amazing.
Of 7, woman, we were struggling. You know how they have those growth curves for children?
Yeah.
He was on the zero line all the way up until he was 6. And so finally, there's a little blip at 7 and then at 8. And he's never going to be at the top of the curve. But he's there enough to be healthy and keep on par with the rest of the kiddos in his
class.
That
is a fantastic, fantastic story. I love that story and I'm so happy he's doing good. Now, when we come back, we're going to wrap up with a powerful conversation about how to turn your personal story, even one filled with challenges like we're talking about, into financial strength and resilience.
We'll be right back with more stories, strategies, and inspiration to help you write your next home chapter. This is Home Story with Veronica on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Veronica Dikas, and you're watching Home Story with Veronica on Now Media Television. Let's jump back into today's conversation.
As we close today's episode, we want to look at something deeply personal and powerful, your story. Many people feel their background or upbringing holds them back financially, but Griselda believes your story can actually be your greatest source of strength. The problem is that many believe that their humble beginnings or family struggles limit their potential instead of empowering them. So Griselda, how did growing up in a border town shape what you believe is possible for others in similar situations?
Oh, that is a beautiful question. And I love answering that, especially now that you recently asked me about my book. But that's exactly what is in here, right? From the border to the boardroom. It's not arrogance. It's not boasting. It's really telling you about many of the challenges that I had growing up in a border town. And there are many, 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 right? You know, from the even being born in the U.S. and then being sent to my mom in Mexico. So mom and dad had to split for a while because we had no home, right? There was no home for us. And so my dad had to build it. But anyway, so all of those challenges, 2 things. One, it brought us together for sure, right? As a family, but also we learned from all that to be resilient. And I'm going to say super resilient because there was many obstacles that you have to go into problem-solving mode right away and to figure out, okay, how do we get past this one? Even buying our first home, like I said, we didn't have a home. So my dad lived with his dad, my grandfather, and then my mom was with us, my sister and I, she's a year older, in Mexico, because there was not enough space for the three, you know, girls to also come over. But anyway, so dad, you know, invested and saved, and basically he was able to build his own, not a home, Veronica. It was like one bedroom and one kitchen, but that's all we needed, right? And it was in the backyard of my grandfather. So you just need a little piece of real estate. And from there, you know, he brought mom over. She got a job at Atari. My dad was working. And so from there, they save enough money. And then we buy our own lot. And then, of course, between the tios and primos and all of them are building the home, right? So you're going to figure it out. You're not going to have the lavish of, hey, I have all these resources and all this money I'm going to buy in 1 acre lot. No, you kind of start where your means are. And our means were minimal. And so we started, you know, slow and steady. And we kept on learning, doing, helping each other, helping others. And before you know it, now I am fully blessed. I look at that beautiful little tiny home that was like a portion of my grandfather's home. And then I look at the home that I'm blessed with now because of my husband and my hard work. And I'm like, wow, how do we get this? But it's hard work and it's perseverance and it's never giving up. And it's just kind of finding how is it that you improve, right? I'm all about improvement and efficiency. How do we do better next month, next quarter, next year? And when you do that constantly with good, you know, feelings in your heart, caring and working with others, great things happen.
Yes, 100% agree. And, you know, we come from different but similar backgrounds. Like yes. I'm from Venezuela, and my country is going through a lot of stuff.
A lot. Absolutely.
And when we all had to live, we had to start from zero. Whatever we build in Venezuela, it didn't matter anymore here. So it's the same. You know, me and my husband look back at a few years ago when we started 11 years ago. And I mean, I don't know how we were buying food.
I know. But remember all those times you were told no, Veronica?
Yes.
Many, many times they were helping you, right? I know many of those no's helped me spring forward because like, they rejected me or they said no. Or, you know, for example, getting into the corporate world, I'm Latina, I'm 5'2". I'm from a, you know, low socioeconomic background. It's like, whammy, whammy, whammy. You're never going to make it, Griselda. I'm like, well, just watch.
Just watch me.
Because I'm going to prove you wrong, right? I just need a little break. And so I got into Stanford. They gave me full ride. I'm like, you know what? That's my break. I have to make it from here. But you have to work hard. Absolutely.
Yes. You have to work hard. And again, you have to. But the key thing is work over your fear. Have the fear, understand the risk, but still take action, right? Even if it's small action, just make sure what we were talking about earlier, break it down a little bit. But don't just sit there and say, no, I'm never going to be able to do it because of where I came from. No,
no,
that is not true. You set your own limits and your own boundaries. So what you said is so important. I want to make sure that I say it again because I think everybody needs to listen to that several times.
And when you are afraid, I'm going to say embrace it. Embrace your fear because something phenomenal is about to happen, right? So if it's not scary, it's not bold enough. When it's scary, it's bold. And when you master it, great things happen.
Exactly. Now, how can someone use their past challenges as fuel for financial decision making, like saving, investing, buying real estate, something like that?
Yeah. So, I mean, all of us have to start somewhere, right? So it's a matter of being realistic and sometimes also understanding as an investor, for example, you're not always going to make it big on every investing decision, right? There'll be some great ones. There might be some setbacks that you learn from, but you have to learn so that you can invest forward, I call it. But when you're looking at any financial decision, is study what it is that you're doing, get as many quantified, I call it data, right? Just quantifiables as you can to make sure that you make a well-informed decision. And if you're investing in something in a region, a property, or even a company, do your due diligence. Make sure that you know anything and everything about that entity, right? Because it could make or break you, right? And let's say it would be a bad one and it would break you. No, you will have learned so much from that experience that you could start all over again, right? Hopefully, I don't wish that on anybody, of course. But if it comes to that, I have had friends who have lost everything on one really bad move. However, with all that they learn in a, you know, couple years, 2-3 years, they're back up and going again where they started. So it's a 2-3 year setback. Okay. But, you know, learn from that experience. So hopefully you don't have those big setbacks. But basically, get your data, do your due diligence, calculated risk, and proceed. But to just kind of stop there and overanalyze it is no good.
No, definitely not. And you'd be surprised how many successful people I've talked to, and they've had every single one of them had a setback. Yes. And every single one of them failed through something that they said, that's exactly what I needed to learn, what I needed to learn to get to my next level.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about people that come from all different backgrounds. And, absolutely. You know, speaking about coming from a different background, like you and I and many of our viewers, I'm sure,
yes,
do mm-hmm. as well. How do you, what mindset helps change the, I come from this background, so I'll always struggle, into this journey gives me strength? And give me that answer in a short period of time, because I want to make sure that we also talk about how people can find you and your book.
So okay. So with the mindset of what doesn't break you makes you golden, golden, because you're like exactly how you said it. You're unstoppable, right? If it doesn't break you, and it shouldn't, right? Because you've done all your homework, then you will be golden and unstoppable, and it'll prepare you for the next 3, 4, 5 investments, right? My husband and I are blessed that now I think we're up to like 22 different investing properties. You know, we juggle around that number, but only because we've worked together and done our homework.
That's it. And it's, and you didn't let any background issues, you know, when my husband came to the US, he didn't speak any English. Mm-hmm. And he never thought in his life he would be able, he's dyslexic, he doesn't like reading. Yeah. And he learned English, and now he speaks with a beautiful accent.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Perfectly good English, and there is no stopping him. So you get over that, you know, I come from this background, so I'll always struggle, into now I'm stronger because I was able to learn a language when I have difficulty learning things.
Absolutely. And now he is bilingual when most of the US people are only on one language, and that's English, right? And exactly. So it's a charm that even if we don't get every single English word perfect, at least we speak two languages, right? So that's something that I learned. I was going to Stanford speaking my perfect Spanglish.
Yes.
So I had to learn how to, wait a minute, I have to master that one and that one. But anyway, we learned.
Now, Griselda, this has been such an inspiring conversation. Where can people follow your work? Where can they find you? Where can they learn more about your coaching?
Sure. So my website is one where, obviously, that's where I have a lot of my information. It's www.businesscoachingresults.com. Also on social media, I am doing my best to get out there on social media to be able to reach out to more people with strategies and tips. And so Griselda.excellence, since I'm all about operational excellence, is how you can find me on Instagram and Facebook. And then LinkedIn is my name, Griselda.abusliman. And I had to think about that one. You know, I struggle with my last name.
How do you pronounce the last name? Griselda, this has been such an inspiring segment and episode and show. And I appreciate you for being here so much. I have learned so much from you. And I'm sure that the viewers have also learned an incredible amount of information that they can put into place right away. So thank you so much for sharing your story, your wisdom with us. You've shown us that confidence, clarity, leadership, and purpose can come from within. And that our stories don't limit us, they strengthen us. To our viewers, I hope that you take this episode as encouragement that no matter your background, you can move forward with courage and build a future that reflects your dreams. Leadership begins at home, clarity comes from within, and your past can be the foundation of your financial strength. Thank you for watching Home Story with Veronica. I'm your host, Veronica Dickens. Until next time, keep writing the home story that matters to you most. Thank you, Griselda.
Thank you. My pleasure.